week's parsha, we have the revelation of Yosef to his brothers and the emotional experience of Yosef saying, "Ani Yosef, ha'oido v'chai." Later on, the pasuk says, "Vayipol al tzavrei binyamin ochi vayef binyamin bocha al tzavorov." That Yosef fell on Binyamin's shoulders and he cried, and Binyamin cried on Yosef. Rashi says, what are they crying about? Al shnei mikdoshoi she'asidim liyois b'chelko she'binyamin v'soif aleichorev. And Binyamin was crying al mishkan shiloi she'asid liyois b'chelko shel Yosef v'soif aleichorev. So here we are. It's 22 years, the brothers have not seen each other. Yosef is longing to see Binyamin. Binyamin is longing to see Yosef. Everyone thinks Yosef is dead. Suddenly they discover Yosef, a moment of joy, of happiness. And then they hug and kiss each other and cry over an event that's going to take place 1,000 years in the future. What's the pshat? Why the tears at this time for something that seems to be so distant, so irrelevant at this moment? And for that, Yosef and Binyamin break into tears because they have a vision of the future. Yosef is going to suffer the Churban of Shiloh. Binyamin is going to suffer the Churban of Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. The pshat is that Yosef and Binyamin understood very deeply the result of Sinas Chinam. They saw that what happened between the brothers is what can happen when there's an element, even on a very small microscopic oifen. But when there's a shtickel sinna, look at what happens to a family. Look what happens to brothers. Look at what happens to Klal Yisrael. And the only way that you can resolve this is to feel somebody else's pain. To feel what somebody else is feeling. The tikkun for sinas chinam is to try to feel somebody else's feeling, somebody else's pain. Try to touch somebody else's heart. Try to walk a mile in somebody else's shoes. Try to understand and empathize for another human being. And if you can do that, you can deal with sinas chinam. Some say the tikkun for sinas chinam is avas chinam. Love every yid. Is that possible? Maybe not for us. The Chofetz Chaim loved every yid. There's a mice of a yid who went to the Chofetz Chaim because he was diagnosed with an illness. The doctors had no refuah, so they sent him to the Chofetz Chaim. He comes to the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim tells him, go to this and this town. Go to this and this yid. And ask the yid for a bracha. And his bracha will be poyel yeshuas. Under one condition, I'm giving you this eitzah, you have to promise me you will never repeat what I'm telling you to anybody. So he goes to that tzaddik, he gets a bracha, and he's healed. He gets married, and many years later his wife's sister comes down with what appears to be the very same illness. And his wife realizes that her husband, when he was younger, had the same sickness. So she asks him, what did he do? And he says, I can't tell you. So she says, it's my sister's life. What do you mean you can't tell me? He says, I can't tell you. And this goes on week after week till finally he breaks down and he tells her that the Chofetz Chaim told me to go to this tzaddik and the tzaddik gave me a bracha. And shortly after, he tells his wife, he gets sick again. So he travels back to the Chofetz Chaim. And he cries to the Chofetz Chaim. What should I do? I'm sick again. And the Chofetz Chaim turns to him with tears in his eyes. And he said, my entire kind, I'm too old now. But when you came to me the first time, I fasted 40 days that you should have a refuah. Now I'm too old to fast 40 days. The Chofetz Chaim could fast 40 days for a stranger, because he wasn't a stranger. He was a brother. It was a sister. It was a member of Klal Yisrael. We don't have to go fast 40 days because there's a problem. But we have to start to feel somebody else's pain. We have to start to feel that we have brothers in Klal Yisrael, and we have to try to understand what they're going through. The Belzer Rebbe says a vort that every Monday and Thursday you say, Yehi Rotzon L'fnei Avinu Shebashamayim, Shenizbaser B'Soyres Toivis, Yeshua is B'Nechomas, Yehi Rotzon L'fnei Avinu Shebashamayim, and we say all sorts of Yehi Rotzons after Kriyas HaTorah, and then we say, Acheinu Kobeis Yisrael, Anisunim Batzoru, Vashiv Yehoinim Bein Bayom Uvein Bayabosh, break the Belzer Rebbe, why don't you say Yehi Rotzon over there? So he says, when you say Acheinu Kobeis Yisroel, it is the Rotzon Abayre. If it's Acheinu Kobeis Yisroel, you don't have to betzach Yehi Rotzon, because that is the Rotzon Abayre. If we would be Acheinu Kobeis Yisroel like an Emes, then our Rotzon would stim with the Eibishters. But this is our problem. We have become so self-centered, so involved in our personal lives, so immersed in our pleasures and our toys and our worries and our gaiva, that there's no place in our heart for somebody else. And Rabbi said, this has to change. We have to start realizing we're not the only people in this world. There was a maisa in the Mir Yeshiva. There was a bocher in the Mir Yeshiva that was nifter in the Mir. And at first they were saying Tehillim, and in the middle of Tehillim, somebody gives a clap on the bima, as all Kayanim have to leave the building. There was a shocked silence. Nobody knew what to do. Nobody knew what to do with themselves. One of their chaverim had suffered an aneurysm and he was dead right there in the dormitory. And they walked around till the levaya in a daze, and after the levaya nobody knew what to do with themselves. They went to shir the next day. And Elia Baruch Finkel starts to shir and he says, wie kann das sein? How could it be? The walls of the yeshiva are saturated with Torah. How did the Malach HaMavis get in? And he said, it says in the Pasuk, V'ahavtem es hageir. So we think it means, we know it means, that someone who's a ger tzedek, you have to love that person. But he said, it doesn't just mean that. He says, there's many bachrim in the yeshiva that are in their own way are geirim. Maybe they're foreigners who don't speak the language that well. Maybe they're lonely and they don't have friends. Maybe there are people who are carrying a pekel, a burden on their heart, and they have nobody to share it with. Maybe nobody sits down next to them by the breakfast table. Maybe nobody's there to let them unburden themselves. There are people who are strangers, surrounded by people, but nobody notices them. And when that's the way people live, then there is a hole in the wall for the Malach HaMavos to get through. I came to Denver. I had a class before I came here where anybody would do anything to stab each other in the back. We were regular teenagers, self-centered, selfish, just worried about being cool, not caring about anybody else. I came here, I was zeichet to have a class of B'nai Torah. Bochum, who actually cared about each other. And it made a difference in my life. It made me realize that a Ben Torah is something special. I had friends who were real friends. I had chaverim that were worth attaching themselves to. I could speak to somebody and know he wasn't trying to show off, that what he was saying was genuine, sincere, and real. And that's the kind of people we have to try to become if we want to create the sviva that becomes impervious, chas v'sholom, to any of the mazikim, any of the koiches that could hurt a yid. So somebody might think, okay, the bocher is a chashiv a bocher. If he's my kind of bocher, ain't a chenami. But if he's a nerd, or if he's just not with it, or if he comes from New York or from Denver or wherever it is, it's a different story. Then maybe it's a mitzvah to step on him. Maybe it is a mitzvah. L'shem Shemayim, I have to hate his guts. So I want to tell you a story about Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld fought a battle in Eretz Yisrael before the War of Independence. But he fought against the Tzionim and the Maskilim and all those who tried to destroy the Torah-dikka community in Eretz Yisrael. And there was one such a yid who was an outspoken critic and enemy of Rabbi Yosef Chaim. He wanted to create a country where the black hatters wouldn't control what went on. This person got very sick one day. He ended up in one of the hospitals that were run by the missionaries. And they didn't have much to offer him, and they gave up on his life. He had a cousin who was also not very fond of the black hatters. But this cousin found out that in Shaarei Tzedek Hospital, maybe they could save his cousin's life. But to get into Shaarei Tzedek Hospital, you had to be approved by Dr. Schlesinger. And he wouldn't take this yid into the hospital because he knew who he was. So the cousin, with the less brave, goes to Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, the Rav of Yerushalayim, Gadol Hadoyer, the one who's fighting the Melchama for Emes Torah, for Emes Yiddishkeit. And he goes in and he tells him the story. My cousin's in the hospital, they gave up on his life, the only hope is Shaarei Tzedek, but they won't take him. So Rabbi Yosef Chaim jumps up and he says, we have to go right away. It was pouring rain outside. Rabbi Yosef Chaim puts on his coat, and here's a man in his late 70s. He starts running up the steps, and he's running to catch a wagon. This yid says, I was 30 years old, I couldn't keep up with him. He says, it's time for Pikuach Nefesh, you can't worry about a little bit of rain, let's go. And they run, and they get into a wagon, and all this time Rabbi Yosef Chaim is saying Tehillim.
He gets to Shaare Tzedek Hospital. He speaks to the doctor and he says, since when are you a poisek in Hilchos Pikuach Nefesh? You bring that man over here right away. So they brought him to Shaare Tzedek and saved his life. And he later went on to speak again against Rabbi Yosef Chaim. And in one of his speeches, he got up to speak and he said, we're not going to let the black hatters run this country. And his cousin jumped up and said, what black hatter are you talking about? If not for him, you wouldn't be alive today. That's avas chinam. That's love because you're a yid. You disagree with me. We're ideological enemies. But we're brothers. And that's what we have to know. The Satmar Rav was an address for everyone to go to if they needed help. A Yidwat came to the Satmar Rav and he poured out his heart. And he said, Rebbe, my wife is very sick. I have 9 children. I'm going bankrupt. They might throw me in jail. I don't know what's going to be. I have 1 child with leukemia, 1 child with this. And he's pouring out his heart. He says, Rebbe, you have to help me. The Satmar Rav became very distraught that a Yid was suffering. He took all the money in his drawer, pushed it over. He called his shaman. He says, how much money do you have on you? The shaman said, I have $2,000. He says, lend it to me. Takes the $2,000, all the money he had in his pocket, all the money in his drawer, gives it to the Yid. And the Yid walks out and the Gabbai says, what was the matter? And the Satmar Rav says he has 9 children, he's going bankrupt. And the Gabbai says, Rebbe, what are you talking about? I know that guy, he only has 2 children. He's not going bankrupt and his wife isn't sick. You were scammed. And what was the Satmar Rav's reaction? Baruch Hashem. He's talking not sick. He doesn't have children. His wife is okay. He's not in danger, Baruch Hashem! The next day he called the Gabbai and gave him back the $2,000 he borrowed. He didn't run after the Yid, he just opened his Gemara and went weiter. Because if you love a Yid, the main thing is he's healthy. His children are healthy. I'll deal with the tshuva. I'll deal with the Musar. But I love you because you're a Yid. So we have to try to understand each other. We have to try to get to know what's going on with another bachur. What's going on with a chaver. What burden is he carrying? What daigus does he have? What conflicts is he dealing with? What's stressing him out? What is he worried about? Do you understand each bachur? Do you understand your classmates? Do you understand your roommates? Maybe if you tried, you'd understand yourselves as well. Do you understand your parents? Do you realize the burden that some of your parents go through? Do you know many parents called me and cry on the phone about you and you and you? About the difficulties they have, the worries they have, the fear they're filled with. And you're just worried about coming home and going shopping and getting what you want. And your parents carry a burden of parnasa. Maybe it's an older sister shidduch. Maybe it's something else. And then they have to worry that every time you call, they have to deal with chutzpah, arrogance, with adolescence. Do you understand your parents? Do you understand your rebbeim? Do you understand other yidden and their feelings? But Isser Zalman Meltzer understood other people. He once told the Bocher was Mishamish him. He said, I'm no youngster. I've gotten to the point in my life where I've decided I'm going to daven Vosikin every morning. So tomorrow morning, if you want to be ready, we're going to daven Vosikin. Bocher was all excited. He's going to daven Vosikin with Rabbi Isser Zalman. Next morning he's waiting Next thing he knows, Rav Isser Zalman meets him in time for the regular 7 o'clock minyan, 7:30 minyan, wherever he usually davened. The Bacha says, Rebbe, what happened with the Vasikin minyan? So he says, you know, I thought about it. And you know, the Yidden that I daven with, they're going to miss having me in their minyan. They're going to miss my Shalom Aleichem. They're going to miss telling me Avort. They're going to miss being able to rub shoulders with a Rosh Yeshiva. They're going to feel that, you know, I abandoned them. So I decided, Vosikin Ahin, I have to worry about another Yitz feelings. So I'm not davening Vosikin. I'll daven in the regular minyan and make a few other Yidden happy. That was the cheshbon of a gadol who wanted to maybe steig noch a madrega, daven vosikin, but he made up his mind that other people's feelings are more important. So I have to let you in on another secret, that you have to learn that there are other people in the world besides you, and they also matter. And they have issues that are important. And you have to worry about them. I think I've told this maisa before about a mishpacha that went to Eretz Yisrael. And they wanted the Spitz experience. And everybody wants the Spitz experience. I'm going to go to the kaisel, I'll cry for an hour. It doesn't always work that way. So I'll try Kevarachu, Moriz HaMachpela. I'll go to the zoo in Yerushalayim, whatever it is, I gotta have the Spitz experience. And somehow they didn't experience it. And they were in a playground with their children. And they're in the playground, there's another family next to them playing with their children. And it was during one of the wars in Lebanon. And as they're playing, a fighter plane soars above, going to the border. And suddenly they hear this woman crying hysterically. This guy's wife goes over to the woman. She puts her hand on her shoulder. She doesn't know what to do. It's very uncomfortable, very awkward. A grown lady is crying bitterly. You know, what do? You can't stand it like a golem. So you go over there. You rub her shoulder. You rub her neck. Yeah, it's okay. What's the matter? What's going on? So they say, what are you crying about? What's the matter? Said, the plane. You saw the plane flying above. He says, was that your child going out to battle? She says, no. But it was somebody's child. And that's why I'm crying. It's somebody's child going to battle. Will he come back or not? Can you feel the pain of a parent? The Atmos Nefesh is my child coming back. How can you not cry? There's other people in the world. There's a list that we have of Tehillim. I get letters in the mail. I have hundreds of letters that I get. And I try to read them. To try to feel the pain of other Yidden. Whether you can send a check or not, but feel the pain of Yidden who are suffering. Yidnu are broken, zebrochen, sick, poor. Try to feel the pain of another Yid. We can't live our selfish lives. We can't change overnight, but you can take small steps. Try to smile at a bocher once. If you notice, Rabbi Victor Miller has a list of 10 steps to greatness. Every time you wash your hands in the Beis Medrash sink room, you can take one step towards greatness. So one of them is to give somebody a full smile. So try it! Rabbi Victor Miller says it's a step to greatness. You have nothing to lose but a smile. Try to smile once a day at somebody. Try to say something nice to somebody once. A small step, but notice there are other people. There was a Yid, Rabbi Yaakov Esformus, a Meiridik Gvir. came to the stall in the Rebbe. He asked for a bracha. The stall in the Rebbe says, "What bracha would you like?" He says, "I want a bracha for Arichas Yomim with my Ashiras." So the stolen Rebbe says, "Tell me, Rabbi Yankov, how did you get your money? How did you get so rich?" He says, "It was a long time ago, I was a teenager. And Sukkot came a little bit late that year, and the winter had already started. And there was snow on the ground, and the snow was frozen, and nobody could put up a sukkah. And your father, the Friedrich Rebbe, was tremendously tzebrochen. It's Erev Sukkah, so there's no sukkah. So I went out with an ice pick, and I started to hack away at the ice. I couldn't get anything done till finally the sun came out a little stronger, and I was able to cut out a frame. And I finally was able to put up the walls. And already late in the afternoon, I had put up a sukkah for the Rebbe. I called the Rebbe out of his house, and he looked. And he was mamas filled with a simcha. He had a sukkah, and he embraced me, and he hugged me, and he kissed me. I was mezakeh him with a mitzvah of sukkah, and he said to me, 'Rav Yankov, I'm going to give you a choice. You can be next to me in Gan Eden, or I can give you Arichas Yomim and Ashiras. Which one would you like?' So I asked for the Ashiras. I asked for Arichas Yomim and money." So the Rebbe looks at him, he says, "Rabbi Yankov, the Tata offered you a chelek in Gan Eden, and you took the money?" And he said to him, "You know something, I had the same kasha. How could I pass up Gan Eden next to the Rebbe? But then I said to myself, if I'm in Gan Eden next to the Rebbe, that's very good for me. But what's it going to do for another Yid? What am I going to do for the next person? So I decided, I'll take the money." And he says, "Rebbe, I have used that money to help Aniyim, to marry off Yesoimim and Almonis. I've used that money to help Klal Yisroel, and I'm asking you for a bracha to continue, to have the ability to continue helping Yisroel and Almanos." Maybe we're not in that position. We have to understand there are priorities. We have to make other Yidden our priority. We have to live a life where we take into consideration the feelings of other Bochrim, the feelings of our parents, the feelings of Rebbeim, and every single Yid, and try to feel the tsar of another Yid, share in the simcha of another Yid. Be misameach when somebody has something good, and feel the pain when something bad happens. That's the way we have to live as Klal Yisroel. There's a mashal I've told over many times about a Yid who's marrying off his youngest son. So he calls up his older son who lives out of town, and he says to him, "Listen, Yankel, I'm marrying off Motel, your kid brother. Yankel, I want you to come to the chasna. I know it's a plane trip, but listen, Yankel, means a lot to me you come to the chasna. They'll tell you what, it's a big covet for me. Any money you spend to be mechabed me, I promise you I'll reimburse you. But to mechatoive, Yankel, bring Herschel, your brother, let him come to the chasna too. Make sure Herschel comes. And remember, any money you spend to mechabed me, it's on the house." So the big day comes, Yankel comes to the chasna. And everybody in town is there, rented out a nice hall. After all, this is the youngest son's chasna, the mezinical. So they mamish have it on, you know, Leonard's of Pichich. And everybody is there, the whole town is out there, very exciting. And Yankel comes in, and he's dressed in a brand new suit. and he's wearing a brand new Oscar de la Renta tie, and he's got a whatever it is, suit, a Jeffrey Jollibee, whatever. So he's dressed in a beautiful suit, and he comes in, his wife is wearing a beautiful outfit, the kinderlach dress, and ashkash bagash, and whatever other thing they're wearing, myridik. Then Herschel comes in, Herschel's still wearing his chasna suit from 17 years ago that he outgrew. His wife is wearing a hand-me-down from Ark, and the children fragrance what they're wearing. No, the photographer does a good job covering up all the things, and the shine. They manage to go through the Sheva Brachas. At the end of the entire week, Yankel goes to the father. He says, okay, Tati, I got to go back. I got work to do. I got to get back to help my home. So here's the bill. It comes out to $12,250.82. So the father says, Yankel, ich batzol gornisht. He says, you're not paying? He says, Tata, you said you would pay all my expenses. You know, it's not cheap to fly all the way from Yehupitz all the way to Pachich. And Nishnor then I have to buy clothing. And you said, whatever I spend, the $12,250.82, it doesn't grow on trees, you know. He says, Yankel, I told you any money you spend to be mechabed me, I would reimburse. If you were being mechabed me, you would have dressed up Herschel as well. Herschel came in shmatas, and you came in all spruced up. If you weren't worried about your brother, you're not being mechabed me. You want to be mechabed me, then take care of your brother. We want to be mar b'kvoit shemayim. We want to be mechabed the Rebbeinu Shel Olam with our behavior. We have to worry about our brothers, our sisters. We have to worry about other Yidden. How do they look? How are they feeling? How are they conducting themselves? Are they happy? Are they tzufriden? And when you're worried about the next Yid, then you create Kvoit Shemayim. And when you create Kvoit Shemayim, then we can talk about bringing back the Malchus Shemayim, Mashiach. I want to finish with one last mice. There was a family that lived in Europe. And during the years after the World War, the First World War, it was very difficult to make parnassa. Many Yidden came to America, the Golden of Medina. So this family had several children. Moshe decided to move to America to seek his fortune. Comes to America, starts a shtickel of business, he goes through a push cart to a storefront, next thing you know, he's got a company, and suddenly his name changes from Moshe to Maurice, and he's made it big, he lives the American dream. Yankel on the other hand, the brother on the other side of the ocean, is not faring as well. He's mutrin just for parnasa. And he's got to marry off his children, and he doesn't have any money. And he mutches, he doesn't know what to do. He tries to borrow, tries to schnurse, to gate this, whatever he does, he has no mazel. So finally, but the less brave, he decides, let me go to America. Moshe is a gvir. I'll come to him. I'll betzich. I'm his brother from the Altaheim. He's going to help me. He'll pay for the chasna. Abad, no problem. So he borrows money, takes a ship to America. Comes to America, finds out that his brother's got an office in a big apartment, in a big building, takes the elevator up to the 24th floor, and he says says to the secretary, can I speak to Moshe? Tell him it's Yankel, his brother, from the Altaheim. She said, who's Moshe? Moshe, my brother. He says, oh, Maurice. Let me talk to him. She goes to the back. She says, Maurice, somebody named Yankel is here. He says he's your brother. He says, I don't know who that is. Tell him to get lost. She goes back out. She says, I'm sorry. He doesn't know who you are. Please leave. He says, what do you mean? He's my brother. Tell him it's Yaakov, his brother. I came in to Betzach for help. He's got to talk to me. She goes back. She says, Maurice, he's very adamant. He says, throw him out of the office. I don't know who it is. Throw him out. She goes back. She says, sir, if you don't leave, I'll have to call the police. Nebuch Yaakov is tzebrochen. Goes back to the port. Gets on the ship, goes back to the Haim. A couple of years later, the father gets sick. Father's on his deathbed. They send a telegram to Maurice. Father is extremely ill. Stop. Please come quick. Stop. Maurice gets on the next boat. Comes to the Alter Haim. Comes to the father's house, hoping that maybe he'll see his father before his father dies. He walks into the house, and his father's lying on the deathbed. And he says, Tati, it's me, it's me, Maurice, I mean Moish, it's me, Moish. Father refuses to look at him. He says, Abba, it's me, Tati, it's me, look at me, it's Moish, I came, I want to talk to you before you die, please, Tati, notice me. Father doesn't turn around. He says, Tati, please, it's Moshe. I came all the way from America. Please, Tati, talk to me. The father turns around and he says to him, if Yaakov is not your brother, then I'm not your father. We have to realize that every Yid is our brother. And the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is our Father. And if we want to dive into the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we want to call out, Avinu Abba Rachim on Amarachim Rachim Olenu, we want to Betzach Hatzloch in learning, in life, in Yiddishkeit, in everything, then make sure your brothers are your brothers. And then you can turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Avinu Abba Rachim. And when we can create a little bit of movement in that direction, when Klal Yisrael can develop this level of achdus, and we can say Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael Hanesunin Batzoru Vashivia and really, really mean it, then we can be ready for Kadosh Baruch Hu to build the Bayis Hashlishi. And on that Bayis there were no tears between Yosef and Binyamin. So we should be Zoicha. Through our Hanhaga, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will build the Beis HaMikdash, b'mheira b'yameinu.